Take a seat, Tom.
Here we go.
You're going to do the intro today?
Yeah. Right.
Just welcome.
Don't interrupt.
Sorry.
Welcome to the Our Humble Opinions podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Mike.
And this is episode 4.
Yes,
and
it is.
We are maintaining consistency. It is Monday evening. This is going to be out in 2 days. And we are convinced that this is going to be ready by tomorrow.
Watch it.
Yes.
So we're going to do it. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, easy work.
Audio is going to be on point. We've got lights. It's all happening.
Yeah, the battery in the camera is fully charged. It's all looking good. Last episode, we had some problems, but yeah.
We've kept it simple today.
Yes, we have. Good. We've.
It is all good. Yeah, so welcome again. So we are now today going to talk a little bit about fitness a little bit more.
Yes.
Because we previously... and the first ever episode spoke about New Year's resolutions. I gave away a little bit around, kicking myself back into shape again and sorting that out, getting some consistency in.
Yeah.
And then we'll see where we venture off the back of that. And might start talking about a little bit of boxing later on.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
On the first thing, Tom, so you've been pretty consistent on the whole fitness thing for quite some time now. You've been
out and
keeping active in the gym, out of the gym. So you're running again. Now,
yeah, well, yeah, I've got a holiday coming up, and I told myself, so I think it was like December time, like mid December, just before Christmas, there was 50 days till my holiday, and I thought, do you know what, 50 days, that's a perfect amount of time to, yeah, get a little habit going, get something consistent going. So I've been doing about half an hour of cardio every day, in different formats. Like I've been doing the bike a lot. I've been running a little bit, but I've only been running when I haven't had time in the evening to go back to do the bike because the gym shuts at 6 on a Saturday. So I've been doing
six.
Running. Yeah, it shuts at 6.
Didn't know it shut at 6.
Bit annoying.
I mean, I haven't been going to the gym that often to know it shuts at 6.
a bit annoying. It's like 8 till 6 on a Saturday and a Sunday, which is annoying because I wish it was like 8 o'clock. That would be like a nice time because it's still quite late. Still quite early, but yeah, late enough for people to kind of get it done. But... yeah, I've been running. I've actually whipped out the leggings. The leggings have made an appearance.
The skins are on.
Yeah, literally. I've had a hat. I've had my light. I'm not like you. Because Mike's got a hat with a light.
Oh, it's wicked. I first saw them in Aldi's. My nan bought me one years ago. Yeah. And it was like this. I was like, and I looked at the hat, and it came with the LED light. I'm like, how does this work? What happens when it runs out of batteries? And then you pop this little LED out, and would you have it? You plug it into a USB port and it'll charge.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But I've got a hat, and then I've got this like band like light thing, so I use that, and then I've got
like a Danielson kind of look.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Oh no, what?
I'm a bit too young for that.
Danielson.
I don't know what's that.
The bloody Karate Kid.
No, I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Please, appoint a comment down in the description.
Description.
Put a comment somewhere on whichever platform you're watching on here.
Yeah.
Just to recognise the Karate Kid, please.
And while you're doing that, leave a little review, leave a little like as well. Subscribe on YouTube.
Yes.
But and then 2 layers of long sleeve, and then I've got my shorts with leggings underneath, and gloves as well. And I'm very, very, very warm up until about 18 minutes where I'm absolutely scorching hot, but it's okay.
But like, you'd rather take that stuff with you than not have it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's annoying, right? Because my left leg is really, really annoying because I got like a knee issue on my left side, which is a bit annoying. And then further down there, my ankle's kind of, it's kind of caving in a little bit because my knee is not strong enough. Then my right side is like overcompensating.
So you feel it a lot.
So I feel it. And then so today, literally, my the soleus and the bone like around my ankle is just aching because of just the constant, like when I'm like running, like it's caving down, and it's like, yeah, it's a bit annoying. Yeah. So I've had to do the bike today. I wanted to go for another run because I was quite enjoying it, but yeah, I had to do the bike today. But yeah, staying consistent.
That's good, but do you find you ever get the urge to get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to go for a run? I mean, like get up at 4:30, get up for a run at 5.
No, because it's annoying. Because in the weekdays, like it's a great idea when you go to bed. It's a great idea, but in the weekdays, like I start work at 9, 8:30, 9. It's usually 9, and to get up at 5 to go for a run to get out the door at 5:30 to go on like a half hour, 45 minute run, be back home by like 6:15. And then you're kind of just waiting around then for 3 hours for work to start. I may as well get up at 7, get out at 7:30, come back at like 8:15. And then I've got 45 minutes then to like shower, have breakfast, whatever, ready for work. So then I've got like an extra 2 hours of sleep. That's how I see
it. Yeah, I get it. I mean,
But then I'm missing out on that euphoric, like I'm up before everyone else, sort of wake up and grind sort of attitude.
But, and that's the thing, it's the grinding. I think that's the biggest emotion you get from getting up at stupid o'clock in the morning. And I say this because I've been saying it to Tom a few times. get up at 4:30, come for a run with me at 5:00.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not any shape or form, any supreme athlete when it comes to running. I always find I tend to slow right down. So my pace goes down to like a 10.5, 11-minute mile when I start back again. But then I'll build it up to about an 8.5, 8-minute mile, and that's probably about it. Yeah. But I find getting up in the morning, stupid o'clock, it just fills you with this energy that just propels you through the rest of the day. So you come back. We'll talk a little bit about ice baths in a bit, because that's been a thing.
That's been a big thing, yeah.
But the actually coming back after doing, you know, that bit of exercise in the morning and running some mornings until you drop, that's been really challenging, because the biggest thing is getting yourself in bed and programming your mind to get up at that time in the morning. Because when you wake up at 4:30 or 4:00 or 5:00, there's a song, my mind's telling me no.
Yeah.
And it really does tell you no.
Yeah.
And your body ain't telling you yeah either. It's just stay here, go to sleep. It's a real challenge to just rip yourself out of the bed. But once you do it and you get out there, I think the way to describe that as euphoric, it's very accurate, because it's a weird feeling. I think it was last week we had weather. You have weather every day.
It plummeted. Didn't
cold
it?
Weather. It's like -6 the one morning. It was so cold. That's when I had the layers on that you described then with the
ultra layers.
All the layers on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In terms of like, you know, the amount of hours you have in a day to justify getting up and doing that run, like if you've got a long ass work day or something like that, then maybe getting up in the morning and getting that out of the way is probably beneficial to you. Like, you know, if you don't get a kick from getting up and, you know, rise and grind, all that, like that euphoric sort of feeling that that a lot of people get when they do get up and go for a run at that early, if you haven't got that the amount of hours in a day to go at a reasonable time, then I think it's perfect. But you know, like I'm sure that, because you got a bed at what, like 9:30, something like that. You're aiming.
I'm well
anyway.
Past my bedtime already.
Yeah, this is well past tonight. But usually it's about 9:30, isn't it? You've been saying you're going to bed.
Yeah, I go up about 9:30, and it's just because you just start to relax.
Yeah.
By the time you get to about 10, 11, you're dropping off. But that's a complete reverse to what I have been doing. Mm. I mean, I've been staying up to like 12, 1 in the morning. In all fairness, last night I stayed up quite late.
Mm.
But that's
my point. Like, for people who go to sleep at 12, wake up at 7, and still get their run in, you know, I would say that works for them.
Mm.
But it's the same amount of hours in a day that someone who goes to bed at 10 and gets up at 5. You know, so like if you are kind of, you know, if you do want to get up early and go for that run, but you just physically can't justify, but like you just get out of bed at 5:00. Just try 7.
Yeah.
Then try 6:30. Then try it's 6:00. Good. Don't go feet first into 5 a.m. because it is a
it's a
struggle. It is.
So speaking about going feet first into something, So I've never tried ice baths before, on this fitness hype, there's a lot that people have been raving about them. There's a guy called Wim Hof. Mm. I've watched some of his videos. Look him up on YouTube. He's incredible.
I tell you where he's gained a lot of popularity as well, the ice bath, is the Chris Hemsworth documentary that was on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it?
Limitless. He there was a whole episode on ice baths, and a lot of people, like,
there's some real magic to doing them.
Yeah, yeah.
Big time.
Everyone just started buying ice baths. I bought a fucking ice bath, £35 off Amazon.
Is it a steel one as well?
No, it's one of those ones. It's like it's just It's just, it looks like a swimming pool, like one of those like cheap ass.
Oh, so it is a blow up thing.
Yeah, it blows the ring around the top. It blows up, and then you've got like six like legs that kind of hold it up, and it's just kind of this like 90-centimeter diameter vessel that you kind of sit in,
plunge yourself into.
And I've used it once, and I bought it like 6-7 weeks ago. It's like I just can't do it. Well, I can do it. I'm pretty good with the cold, but like I just going out there and just.
So what I want to set myself a challenge of doing, because I've done it three times. The first time, it was after one of those really cold runs. It wasn't an early morning run. It was about 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And we got a lazy spa, one of the inflatable pools. And it's basically I've turned it on because he lives and all that, you know, it's very expensive to turn a lazy spa on. It costs you about £5 a minute. So it's freezing cold. So on that Saturday morning, I remember taking the lid off the pool. So I've seen a couple of these ice bath videos. And I thought, yeah, go on, I'm going to do it. So I called the wife, she opened the door, she got a camera. I was like, I'm going to do it. I put my one foot in the pool and the pool was, because it was like genuinely -5, the pool water must have been like -2 or something, because water's normally a bit warmer than what it feels like outside.
Yeah.
But it was definitely minus, like, given that there was like big chunks of ice naturally forming within the pool. It was ridiculous. I got about into about nipple height, and then I was like, oh my gosh. And it was the point of realization that I potentially could die.
Yeah.
And I just quickly scurried out the pool. But the second time, I actually stayed in there and I got, you know, down to my, I got my neck, didn't put my head in, but I got into my neck. But again, that was definitely still 0 degrees or colder. But I probably managed about 60 seconds. But that's something I want to try. Maybe we do that and see if we can do that for 50 days or something.
I mean,
consistently, every single day, wake up, ice bath, ice plunge.
I mean, there's so many benefits to cold plunges as it is. Like, if you can get over that hurdle of, just actually fucking doing it.
It scares you, I think. And don't you breathe through it. And there's loads of methods on breathing. And Wim Hof, again, there's actually a really cool way to meditate using that breathing method.
Mm.
But just, honest to God, it really makes you question your existence.
But the thing is as well, in therapy and stuff, they teach you about, you know, being present in the moment and things. It kind of stops all that noise that's going on in your head. We've all got busy lives and stuff, some more than others. And sitting in that cold plunge and just literally focusing on your breathing. You know, I usually do 8 seconds in, 8 seconds out, and you just focus it. You can't really feel your body after about a minute anyway. Like, and all you're thinking about is your breathing. You just want to keep your breathing going, because that's the only thing that's keeping you from hyperventilating and getting out. And those, however long you can stay in that ice bath for, the cold plunge, like, that is the most peaceful time you'll ever have in your life. If you can overcome it, it's amazing.
It is, but it's overcoming that feeling of the ice. It's just, it's crazy.
Once you do that, it'll probably be the best thing you ever did, but I'm yet to overcome it.
It's
to be honest,
it's mental. It really is mental. You gotta be mental to even think about doing it.
But
it's worth doing.
Yeah, but even, and I'm just reading online now. There's a few things that the cold plunge benefits, like immune support, the white blood cells that help fight off sickness. It stimulates the leukocytes. They're the white blood cells.
Mm.
Detoxing the body, strengthening your immune system.
I think the biggest benefits are going to be what it does to your mind, because it's just back to that noise. Like, we all know what it's like, you know, if you don't, I'm sure it will happen one day. You always get those points where you get a really noisy head, but when you need to clear that, sitting inside an ice bath is something else.
Because
at first it makes you question your existence, but when you can start to adapt to that cold and just embrace like what you're doing while you're in there.
Mm.
You know, initially you'll feel that cold down to your skeleton. It's chilling.
Yeah.
But after you get used to it, it's just that breathing piece.
And so it's also important to note as well that you shouldn't do an ice bath within 2 hours of weight training, because you're hindering the benefits of hypertrophy.
Yep.
Do it 2 hours after, minimum 2 hours after.
But doing it before has a benefit. I can't remember if going before has a benefit. Joe Rogan does, for example, every single morning. He's just straight in there. Yeah. Then he goes and does the work afterwards. But I'm not too sure if there's any like science behind doing it before or whether he just does it.
Yeah, I think there might be, because I think there's something to do with as you're naturally warming up your body by working out in a sense, but I'm not sure whether there's something negative about.
Do you know what? I bet that feels nuts.
Yeah, I know.
If you jump, I'm gonna have to try it one day. Okay, brave enough to try it, but imagine that, like you jump in there, you flipping freezing, you get out, but then you jump straight on the bag or something, or you skipping rope, or if you sit ups, press ups, or if you're straight on a bench press, whatever you're doing, if you're doing push pull leg routine, that'd be actually nuts thinking about it.
Yeah,
something to try.
And to be fair, that's what they, especially who's that guy, Ross Edgley. That's what he recommends you do when he does his cold water swims. He does like a run afterwards, just to naturally warm up his body. Because if you go into somewhere where there's got the heating on or something like that, then your extremities balloon up and cold rushes to these areas, and it can be quite bad for you. Mm. But yeah, there must be some benefit in that, because if they're all doing it, there must be some literature there. If you Google cold plunge before or after weight, or before, no, before, yeah, cold plunge before weight training, PubMed, there must be something there.
Some sort of literature.
Go and read up on it, or we'll leave it in the description if we can find it.
Yeah, if we can find it, we'll leave it in there. But that's one other thing to note, though, is try and adjust if you're going to do a cold plunge, just try and adjust yourself to it with a shower or something first. Like, I don't recommend doing what I did. Like, you shouldn't just jump into a pool of water that's like minus whatever, because it's that initial shock, and sometimes your heart's not able to cope with it. I'm a heavy person. I've run heavy for a long time, so I've built up enough strength, I believe, in my heart to cope with that amount of stress. When you get in the water, that shock is just so sudden. I think if you're not used to doing like strenuous exercise, or you're trying ice baths for the first time without having any previous background of exercise, it could be quite stressful. So just bear it in mind.
Yes.
I don't want to be the death of somebody, so be careful.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Going on to like weight training and stuff like that. In 2023, it is, well, and a bit of 2022, to be fair, like it has changed so much, like the gym environment and stuff. Like I do it as well. There's so many people like filming in the gym now and stuff.
So it's really popular. You see it a lot now.
Yeah, and there's so many people who are trying to reinvent the wheel in terms of these different exercises that all essentially do the same thing.
Keep it simple.
Trying to stand, because it's such a saturated market, being like a coach, for example, or a PT.
Yeah.
Especially on like Instagram and stuff.
It's like, how can you be different?
Yeah.
What can I do that's going to make somebody think that, oh, yeah, I'm going to follow this guy because he does it in that particular way. There must be some big benefit to doing it that way.
Yeah. And it's preying on the naive, and it's, yeah, I don't like it. But
No. That's what it's kind of like. Go in there, showcase your routine. Mm. Don't like twist fact to try and establish, a new framework for doing something.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if it's this good way to describe it, but it's like taking water that's from Evian and just rebottling it with your own label.
Yeah,
it's the same. Oh, that's interesting. Other, did you see this?
Other water brands are available.
Yes, they really are. For example, you could get the cheaper option from Asda. Which was bottled at Elmhurst Spring.
Do you know what?
Litchfield.
I only bought this because of the bottle, because I know the bottle's robust and doesn't like when you hold it, it just keeps its it's, you know, it doesn't crackle up like that. Like that.
It sounds like you've really done some analysis on the water bottle.
Yeah, because I don't take my I don't buy a water bottle and then fill it up. I just buy a water, and I buy it for the bottle. Do you get me? And then this will last me now for a few months.
Sounds very materialistic of you.
Yeah. To be fair, it's better because it's like 90-odd p, and it's lasts me months. Whereas other water bottles are like £2, £2.50. I usually smash them. And
yeah, but yeah. In all fairness, I know we're going off piece a little bit, but this is recyclable. It's made from recycled material.
So is mine.
And it's also very cheap.
So is mine.
And I buy them in abundance.
I don't. You win on the water top trumps.
Yes.
But yeah.
Two sheds do.
But yeah, going on to like, you know, because I don't really go on, I don't really scroll down through Instagram much, but when I do, like I've had to, what I did at the back end of last year is I unfollowed quite a lot of people who I know are like online fitness coaches and personal trainers and stuff, because I'm sick of seeing like the way they're butchering exercises and making it just too complicated. It's just too much information.
Don't get me wrong. I think whoever came up with the whole push pull legs thing, big thumbs up, because that makes sense. I totally get it in the way that you go through a range of muscle groups opposed to, you know, doing chest, back, arms, legs. I mean, for those who do legs, that was good. But the variations that people come up with in supersetting things and saying, oh, you know, do this type of stuff for pull downs with this kind of movement here. Don't put the bar behind your head, put the bar in front of your head. No, don't put the bar in front of your head, put the bar behind your head.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? Before long, you just see people in the gym just spinning around in circles, throwing weights around.
Yeah. And it was always... And it was like when you're doing like a tricep pull down with the cables, it's like doing like an open hand and a closed hand to hit different parts of the tricep head and all this stuff. And it's like, oh God, just stop.
People are training to get an Adidas stripe in the tricep.
Yeah. And it's just, it doesn't need to be that complicated.
I do like tricep pull downs though.
Yeah. Do you know what? I only ever do cables now for tricep.
It's the best though, isn't it? Yeah. It's just the resistance you get up and down.
When you're doing like a weighted thing, when you get to the top and your arm locks out, you're not getting any form of resistance down that tricep because the gravity is just pushing down your joint, and that's it. Your tricep is just resting at the top.
Because for ages I did that. That's how I first started doing triceps with just a 32. I think I got like a lift. Probably something quite heavy now.
Yeah.
But when I was first doing, I've done them for ages. But you're doing behind your head.
Mm.
But then I was always like, oh yeah, cool. You get a pump. Mm. As soon as you change and you do those triceps on a cable machine.
Yeah. It's a game changer.
Game changing.
But do you know what? Going back to like the push pull legs and stuff. Like there's the push pull legs is like upper lower days. So like upper lower rest, whatever, 4-day split. And then you've got the bro split, which is chest,
bro split,
shoulders, arms, legs, back, whichever works for you, I think. And to be honest, what I've been doing the last however many days, like I think I've had two days off the gym this year, which is like I'm quite happy with.
2 days?
2 days, yeah. And that was only because...
Epic.
I went to the gym with my mate Jack, and we tried a new variation on chest, and it absolutely destroyed our front delts. And honestly, I could not move. Like I couldn't do back. Obviously, I couldn't do push.
Hang on a minute. So this as a negative thing here, or actually destroyed, as in you ripped the fibers to pieces.
Yeah. It was positive. It really shocked the system.
And that's where Arnie said. Yeah. Shock the muscles,
yeah. And
sorry if anyone didn't like that impression.
I tried. Shock the muscles, and it took ages for it to recover. It only just recently recovered properly. But I usually just...
But do you forget... Nah. Can you feel it off the back of that, though? Like, do you feel like there's more oomph after you...
I don't know.
I guess it progressively builds up over time, doesn't
it? Yeah, you can't really... It's not an overnight thing, really, is it? But, like... I usually just, I don't stick to a push pull legs or anything like that. Whatever's not aching on the day, yeah, I will do. So tomorrow, like I did back yesterday, did push today. So I'll do legs tomorrow because my legs are fully recovered now from last week and the run, hopefully.
Oh, I tell you, there's nothing in these legs at the minute. I have a day off today. I've just, the non-stop running is what I've been doing. So I said, the first two months of the year, I'm just running, just to get to keep it all pumping again, get the blood going.
Yeah,
I might mix a couple of spinning classes in the gym for a bit. I just find that just gets me in the rhythm of just doing something.
Yeah,
and then once I get a little bit of the weight off again, I'll start doing the whole weight training. Yeah.
And you find as well the more you do it, the more accustomed your body will be to recovering those things that are working quite a lot.
Yeah.
So like my recovery time at the start of, you know, doing the gym consistently was rubbish. Like I was aching all the time, it was horrible. But now, like my recovery time is 1-2 days, and I'm pretty much.
How do you motivate yourself to stay in that gym?
I've got this. So I've my holiday's booked, and I've got this thing in my head where I want to. It's really, really shallow, but I want to go there and I want to feel good by looking good. And yeah, it's not even craving external gratification.
Attention.
Yeah. It's not even craving that, because the people who are going to be there on holiday won't know what I looked like, you know, 50, 60, 70 days ago. It's just, I want to go there and
self-confidence boost.
Yeah. It's a self-confidence
boost. But you've had to put that flag in the ground though.
Yeah.
Like you've gone right. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's what I'm aiming for.
And like,
is that where the acceleration's come from now?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. But like, that's the thing. Like I've used it as a catalyst.
Yes.
Yeah. As a catalyst to like, cause now when I'm back off holiday, it's a routine that I'm thoroughly enjoying, and I'm going to keep it going and see where I can get to. My eating's cleaned up. You know, I'm enjoying running again. I can actually do the bike. I used to hate doing the bike. I used to go on there for 10 minutes. I used to be blowing afterwards. After 10 minutes, that's just crap.
Your air bike, or you're on a bike, just normal resistance.
Just a static
exercise
bike, yeah. And yeah, everything about it is just completely positive.
Have you done spin before?
No, I like to go at my own pace. Yeah, I don't know whether I'd want someone.
Spin is
it's a bit different breed than I've heard. It's a different breed.
Yeah, and I got to be fair. Shapes out to the one person who I thoroughly enjoy going to spin with, Cara. I'm going to start going back to those, because I got to be fair. It's just, and it's always good to have an inspirational, you know, instructor in the room with you, because a lot of the times I've been to spin, and the folks conducting the class, it goes back to kind of the whole imposters being present, and they can't actually do the class with you.
Yeah.
But this person I'm talking about, she'll do the class with you at pace. She'll do the next class at pace and the class after that. And it's just insane.
Yeah.
No offense, no spring chicken either.
Yeah.
But fit as a fiddle. It's brilliant. Really inspiring. But yeah, spin's a different breed, because like it just takes you on this journey. Like if you really get into it, because obviously there's music that's played, so you get the rhythm to keep it going. And obviously you make of that session what you make of it. So you've got control of that resistance toggle.
Yeah.
And you can choose whether they say turn that resistance up to kind of give a little bit. But wherever you do, don't turn it down. I've had some grueling, gritty spin classes.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it. And in fact, that's probably where I burn a lot of the stuff off.
I may have to give it a go just so I know, just so I can experience it. For that one,
I think we'll do it if we can film a little video while we're in there. We'll share it back on here as well.
Right, I'm just looking at the clock. We got 35 seconds.
No way.
To sum up this little episode 4.
Oh,
so how can we sum it up?
Okay, so welcome. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, if we sum up what we spoke about, gym, don't overcomplicate it. Cold plunge, give it a go.
Yes.
What else?
And if you're going to do a spin class, don't turn the resistance down.
Yes. And
like, subscribe, comment.
And see you in the next one.
Yes.